Welcome to A Gram of Hope. I'm your host, Jerome Graham. On today's episode, we'll be speaking with a man, a legend. I was going to say a myth, but he's the real deal. There's nothing that's a myth about this. His career may be mythical because he's done a lot. As a matter of fact, he was telling me off air that he's even worked here. So, man, it's a pleasure to have Robert. Many refer to him as Bobby Smith of the African American Legacy Project. Not only that, some know him going all the way back when simply as Duke.
Yeah, good day to you, sir.
Man, it's fantastic having you. And you know, what I like about this type of format is it's recorded forever. And so it will do me very well later on in life to say, yeah, I sat in the same studio with Duke. Man, I was there when he put all this together. There are those that can say they ran with legends. There are those that say that they hung out with legends. But I got the evidence.
So hopefully you can also say we both survived the interview.
Ain't that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Well, look, talk about how you got into broadcasting, because your career goes back a ways, and there are many that started out in the race, but they're not here. You started out before we had internet. You started out before we were using computers. They still spliced everything with a razor blade instead of using digital. How'd you get in this thing, man?
If that's a fancy way of saying I'm old, okay. We're really fortunate to have friends who own record stores. And high school, I had a couple of friends who were married into a family that had a record store on Door Street. That store was Clark's one-stop record shop. And I actually began working 1965, 1966, selling 45 RPMs and long playing albums at Clark's record store. In fact, we found a picture from an ad not that long ago that shows me looking a little bit younger, actually conducting business there. Very pleased to have the early beginning. But at one time, Mr. Clark started a radio broadcast out of his front window at Clark's One Stop Records. It was 4 hours on a station called WTOD-FM, which later was known as WKLR, and then I believe it became WKKO.
WKKO.
Yeah. So Mr. Clark had to go on a business trip, and it was he broadcast from like 4 to 7 daily. But he had to go on a business trip, and he said, listen, I want you to play the records, but don't touch the microphone. All I could see was this big microphone inviting me in. And he welcomed me to actually begin to broadcast over time. That WTOD-FM started out at 4 hours. It went to 6, then 8, then 12. Then 24, then the name changed to WKLR Radio, 99.9 for all the people of a certain age.
Yeah, we call it Cooler 99.
Cooler 99, yes, sir.
You weren't the only black DJ that went by WTOD. You had Lady B, you had T. Jean Overton. They were both pioneers in their own right. Miss Overton was a community activist, and Lady B owned the Bronze Raven, which I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this don't remember the Bronze Raven. I would hope that they would, because that was all we had.
So, yeah, there were a lot of people who, at a certain point, let me just explain, at a certain point, FM radio had little value to broadcasters.
Yes.
It was Top 40 radio. It was CKLW broadcasting out of the Canadian border, crossing down. Then it was Randy's with the Baby Chicks down south from Tennessee broadcasting up, and you could pick him up at nighttime. So it was that big AM bandwidth that people were familiar with. So when at that point, FM radio was a throwaway. Nobody wanted it. Mrs. Overton truly was the first African American of record on any station in the city of Toledo that we are aware of. However, there was an earlier period where African Americans who actually appeared live performing on radio throughout the community. So the history is long. As you know, we've been documenting the history of Toledo's African American community for nearly 20 years, and there's a slight excitement every time we have a new discovery, and we love music, so we've really delved into the area of how we evolved. So it's been a precious experience, I would say. It's been golden.
What made you want to evolve into the African American Legacy Project? I think you approached that when you were talking about capturing the music and being a repository for just the history in general.
Well, as you said, we just talked about my first experience in the media, but somewhere along the way, I became a producer for one of the local radio stations, and I got this sense that our story probably could be better told, and over time, we decided to look around to see where and how we were being documented, and there was a deficit of places that were really handling that during that period. Thankfully, things have changed a little bit, but I got the idea because I was with WTVG as a producer, and one of my assignments was to do a program called Student Television Network, where we brought high school students in, and on a monthly basis, we would produce a single half-hour program. The students ultimately interviewed Mrs. Ella P. Stewart.
Oh, wow, yes.
So we actually, on record, have the last known interview. The students did it, Mrs. Ella P. Stewart. Of course, you know, we let the students play around, but at about the last week, we end up going in doing some heavy editing to make sure we had the broadcast quality that the public was accustomed to seeing. But and to tell you how long ago that was, this is 2025 for the record. One of the students who was part of the interview has 25 years teaching in the Toledo public school system. So, you know, that experience, and he and the others actually gone into broadcasting that we work with, that we began teaching, that's still working. So he and others, you know, had this single experience, and I mean, Mrs. Stewart we went to her museum at Stewart School, and she sat in this rocking chair, and the kids just gravitated to her, and we were standing out of the way, and just with her silence and her poise, she controlled the room, and it will forever be a vivid image in my mind how these normally boisterous kids became attuned to every word that Mrs. Stewart, they knew. Well, they didn't understand the history. They understood her presence. She brought something that they hadn't witnessed maybe as frequently or maybe not at all before. So it's a very precious interview. Very precious because Mrs. Stewart, as from the history, as people know, was just a giant in our community. So that's kind of the evolution of why we got here.
You talk about being a place where history is retained. I've gone to the African American Legacy, and I've seen all the faces, all the names, all the pictures, and it's something how you can go in there and actually put a name and a face together with the street that you've seen, the building that you've seen. You know, unfortunately, we don't have any more Bran Woodlocks. We don't have any more Albertus Browns. But through the African American Legacy Project, we at least have something that we can look on and say, okay, that person was significant to the history of our community, to the development of our community. Then we just have to work to tie the rest in. What a lot of people don't realize is that to get into the projects, that was not a bad thing back in the day. You had to earn your way into the projects.
You were pretty much almost middle class. It was people were waiting. I tell the story of the number of people who went on to do amazing things that came from the Bran Whitlock homes. This journey has been amazing. You think that you come in and see and put names and people and faces together. You know, that's been the single driving force for me to, in the mornings, come in. I know I'm going to see a picture of Judge Robert Franklin or Mr. Frank Goldie, who was the first African-American postmaster here in the city, and on and on and on and on. And that's what has buffered me and a lot of people who have volunteered to continue to salvage what was almost nearly a lost history. And people weren't paying attention to African-American history before we came along. It's a different story now. Everybody's caught the fever, if you will.
You know, and the other thing that I find impressive, and I think can be used by anyone that wants to embrace it and use it as a resource, is that it's more than just athletes in there. It talks about the other areas that people have entered into and were recognized and been accomplished. I believe, and you can put me on the right road if I'm not going in the right direction, but Albertus Brown started the Frederick Douglass Center.
Paul Block Sr., Albertus Brown helped frame it. You're correct. I was thinking YMCA. Albertus Brown was one of the authors of the Frederick Douglass Center, as was the case for the Toledo chapter of the NAACP. Mr. Brown literally, people say, worked himself to death. And someone in this year, 2024, we just received his official obituary from a community member whose dad, Dr. Franklin Duffy, had kept that obituary for these many years. That obituary dates back to 1927, and in the year 2025, that makes that obituary about 90 years old. So, yeah. When we started out, we didn't have a single picture. Not a single piece of furniture. I always talk about, but we had that dream, and now we have more than 6,000 images. Countless images, if you will. So many three-dimensional items. We're in our second home, and we literally have outgrown our second home. And we're looking for storage, and we're looking for the next chapter. I might not hang around for the next chapter, but it's the next chapter in the life of the African American Legacy Project.
Yeah, my late pastor used to say the horse that builds the track doesn't oftentimes get a chance to run on it.
That's one of the things that I came to grips with early. I'm looking for the time when that younger person comes in with the new energy and the new vision and the, but with the same purpose to continue to amplify the legacy of our, of the Toledo's African American community and Northwest Ohio, to be exact. There are reasons that, you know, someone has to plant the seeds and someone else harvests it. So we're real comfortable.
You started doing events, and there's a number of events around town, but yours is like the platform for that, for the culture.
So you keep messing with my age.
Well, you know, when you mentioned the young person coming behind you.
Yeah.
They may be young, but the history is going to make them, everyone look at them as a lot older.
Yes, sir.
So you can be guilty by association.
Yes, sir.
You started your events off February 1st with the Sports Legends Kids, and the 3rd you went to, you had Brother Boyce in from Columbus, and
I saw
you do that interview, and that was heavy, man. You put your old hat back on, and you did what you had to do.
He's a pretty good guy. He's a really good guy. I think we're doing more events this year than we've ever done. But to be clear, all of our events focus on elevating the conversation about the Door Street Business District. We are dabbling in an area where we didn't see ourselves going when we initiated this, but we did see ourselves documenting Door Street because it was the center of the African American experience. There are a lot of reasons why we are moving in that direction. I think one of the things that probably I looked at while doing this as a young man, it's 18 years old. I'm working at that record store that provided jobs for young men and women. And there across the street was another down the street and two blocks down and all. That's no longer there.
Right.
So whatever happened to us, and we're very clear on what happened, our community doesn't have an economic base. And the consequence of that is you're not talking about creating wealth, generational wealth. What has happened over years, it looks like generations have been subsidized, and you can't live like that forever.
No. You've got to have a way to generate your own revenue stream.
Yes, sir.
And what has to happen is the legacy of those that have gone before, and I quit using the term old folks used to say, because then I became one.
Yeah.
And I found myself looking in the mirror when I said old folks used to say. I am old folks. But what they did to generate capital, they found a way to grow something. They found a way to sell something. You know, what you're talking about sitting in the window with Mr. Clark, they had a clip of something like that in the movie, it was one of the Spike Lee's movies.
Spike Lee's, yeah.
And I think Samuel
Do the Right Thing.
Samuel Jackson was sitting in the window as a DJ.
You're testing both of us, but we made it.
We made it. So you do have some things with young people coming up. Jones Leadership Academy, you're going to be at Indiana Baptist, you're going to have Songs in the Key of Life, you're going to have things over at Warren. So you've got a lot going on. Tell people how they can get in touch with the African American Legacy Project to find out not only what you have done, what you are doing, and how they can get involved.
I usually give the info address, and I'm going to give it now. But I'm also by email, info@AfricanAmericanLegacy.org. You can call us at 419-720-4369. We're on the web and on Instagram at We Are One. the Door Street Business District. We're also on Facebook at AfricanAmericanLegacy.org and Door Street Live.
Excellent. Look, you mentioned collecting pictures and getting more information. I had a cousin who played for Libby back in the day, a guy by the name of Kenny Marnie. Mm-hmm. And I walked in and saw his picture there as one of the owners of Black Knights. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, he got Kenny's picture up in here. Yeah. And that was one of the early black businesses. And they were on Door Street.
Absolutely. The story, Kenny and his eight partners, that's the collective experience that we talk about. Kenny and his eight partners originally were the Royal Knights. And the Royal Knights raised dollars to generate funds to open up this men's haberdashery, this men's clothing store on Door Street. I think it was 1338 Door. So Mr. Marnie, your cousin, wasn't just a businessman. There's a couple of things that come to mind. But I'll stay on track. I talk about what people do after athletics. And, he was a formidable basketball player at Libby High School. But he was also this great community guy, this great family man, this man who cared about what happened to people. And so a lot of that was left out before we started. You can't go back too far and find where you and I can talk about community, right, about family, about business, or how things affected and impacted Toledo's African-American community. There were some things out there. I'd be very clear about that, but history happens every day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he helped shape my history. He was one of my mentors. He got me my first job at Kroger's. And you were supposed to have I forgot what they call it, kids have to have to work. It's a worker's permit. Age 16, I think he got me in at like 14 or 15.
Wow.
To work at Kroger's. And they called it
a bag. That's why you keep your hand on your wallet now. You got a pocket full of money.
I got a pocket full of wallet. That's But they used to call them bag boys.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't like that name, so I changed it to food distribution assistant.
Yes, sir.
I figured that sounded better than bag boy all day long.
Elevated.
Yeah. Elevated. Well, look, we're just about out of time.
Yes,
anything
sir.
That you want to leave with the people about African American legacy, getting people over there, because it's a place that you really got to see. When you drive by it, you see the building, but to have a true appreciation for the spirit and the essence and the hard work that you put into making it what it is today, you got to go inside.
So I would say that we invite you. We're there Monday through Friday, 10 until 3, business hours. Sometimes we're there a little bit later, quite a bit later sometimes. But you can always walk in and see. But if you want to tour, you need to call and make arrangements so that we make sure that we can schedule a group in. That number is 419-720-4369.
Bobby Smith, it's been good talking to you, man.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
I want to thank Bobby Smith, our guest in today's show. And I'm your host and producer, C. Jerome Graham. Our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to WGTE.org/hope or wherever you stream your podcast.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.